The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with McShay's McBoard. A new mock from Todd tells you exactly what last week's trade turns into. We unveil it right now, and in it, you will see this quarterback slip sliding down the board. The question is, why are teams questioning the most talented QB in the draft? Plus, did you hear what Bob Kraft said? Was that a shot at his legendary coach? Holy smoke, we need to get to the bottom of this. And we will right now as we get up with you, starting right now on a very special day. Greeny here, ready to roll. Baseball season gets underway. We will have plenty of that. And it is a day for the release of a new mock draft. And here to talk about that are Diana Russini, Dominique Foxworth, Jeff Saturday. We are fired up. We're handing out pancakes today. And it is a mock alert on this day. Here we go. Sound the alarm. We got a mock draft from Todd McShay, 4.0. And here it comes. Trevor Lawrence going first to the Jaguars. That stays the same. At number two, Zach Wilson, BYU, going to the Jets. That stays the same. Three is where the intrigue begins. And Todd McShay is projecting Mac Jones from Alabama to the San Francisco 49ers after their huge trade with Miami. A few picks later, he has the Panthers trading up to take Trey Lance, who started just 17 games in his career at North Dakota State. And that leaves Ohio State's Justin Fields falling down to some degree to number 11, where McShay is projecting the Patriots move up to get him and start their post-Brady rebuild in earnest. So here it is, the top 11 of McShay's new mock draft. You'll see the quarterbacks are the first three picks, five in the top 11. Lawrence and Wilson, 1 and 2, not a surprise. Again, some of the trades are fascinating. And the fall, if you will. Again, we've seen highly touted quarterbacks fall a lot farther than number 11. But to see Justin Fields, the fifth quarterback in this draft, is fascinating. Diana, as you talk to people around the sport, what do you hear?
So I don't have, just from gathering the information I was able to get, I don't have Justin Fields falling as far down as Todd McShay does, but Todd always has something behind it. But that being said, this is what's interesting, okay? So in terms of the evaluation, coaches, GMs, scouts, they all pointed out, he is so talented. He's got a strong arm. All that natural athleticism is there. But here's a little bit of the question marks. It's his ability to progress after the first read, see those defenses. And when you watch Ohio State and you see that offense, sometimes he's just not asked to do that. So some of this is coaching, but the coaches in the NFL, they want to be able to see that he can do that, that he can get rid of the ball, that he won't hold the ball too long. So that's really an area right now that I hear GMs and coaches are focused on in terms of making comparisons of a Justin Fields to say, for example, like a Mac Jones, who's been considered a really progressive reader of defenses.
All right, so Dominique, let me come to you on all of this. You buying it on Justin Fields sliding down to 11 and being the fifth quarterback in this draft?
I'm absolutely not buying it. And I know Diana is just repeating the things she's heard, but we all hear the codes in that language. Like, it's kind of outrageous and mind-blowing to see Justin Fields fall the way he has fallen, especially given what we've seen him do on the field and given one of the more recent comps. We think about a guy who people questioned his ability to read the entire field and thought of him as more of an athlete. You kind of think of a guy like Deshaun Watson. Of course, that brings other connotations given the allegations that he's under right now, but he's another guy who slid in the draft. He didn't go to 12. But you find out that the league, the NFL, is a lot more like college than it was once before. And these athletic quarterbacks, again, with the coded language, find a way to be effective in this league. And I can't imagine. I don't know. I've been thinking about this all morning. I think Todd McShay is doing an April Fool's joke on us, because there is no way. It's that rascal McShay is trying to fool us. Later on, he's going to come on and say April Fool's, because there is no way that I see Justin Fields sliding this far.
He, again, McShay will be live with us off the top of our next hour, so we'll be able to find that out. Jeff Saturday, you have been around Justin Fields a really long time. What is your perspective here?
Yeah, it's interesting, Green. Like I watched him in high school. He was at Harrison High School, which was close to me. I watched him, discussed it with his head coach, and I watched this kid make progressive reads in high school. So this conversation that he can't do it now, I just don't understand it. I mean, you think about the game at Northwestern. I think a lot of people started throwing shade towards him after that game. But this kid showed you in Clemson playing injured, against Alabama playing injured. This guy's done everything he needs to do to check all the boxes. The pro day stuff, listen, I'm one of those. I mean, how important really is it, right? The guy's shown he can throw the ball. He's fast. He's athletic. He can do all these things. I think it's absurd that he's fallen to where he is. I mean, thinking about 4 months ago, they were comparing he and Trevor Lawrence. I just don't understand it.
It is a remarkable thing because that is, for those who follow this, when this season began, the question was, could Justin Fields surpass Trevor Lawrence and become the number one quarterback in this draft? Now, all of a sudden, the idea that he himself has been surpassed by these other players to become the fifth quarterback in this draft. Diana, go ahead.
So this morning, Dominique made a great point. He was saying to me, you know, he kind of, the comp for him should be like Josh Allen. And when he said it, I was like, I don't know about that, Dom. So I just made some calls to people that were at the pro day to see if that matched up. And go figure, Dom was right. Josh Allen is a great example, based on the people I was talking to, of a comp. I think where we're going through this, it's the best way for us to understand who these players are and potentially who they could be is to compare them to a guy that's in the league now and having success. But here's why the comp is to Josh Allen. It's the height, the athleticism, the strong arm. But also, this one coach made a great point to me. He said, you know, if you're going to make the comparison to Josh Allen, you got to also make the comparison of the organization, the weapons, the coaching that is built around Josh Allen to make him successful. So this could just be, a situation where you know, Justin just needs to go to a place like Buffalo where they can bring out the best in him. Right, Dom?
I'm so happy to have you on because you are setting me up so perfectly because that's my feeling about all of this. It's like we keep talking about these players like this is basketball, like you can just get LeBron James and drop on your team and do better. Like if we look over the past several years of all the successful rookie quarterbacks that we've had in this league, they've all fallen into great situations. Patrick Mahomes, that is a perfect situation. You look at Justin Herbert, he goes out there with a bunch of weapons. That's a great situation. Josh Allen, great situation. Dak Prescott, great situation. Russell Wilson, great situation. So let's stop pretending like it's all about these players. They're all super talented. The best player in this class is going to be the player who ends up in the best situation. And that's always how it is. A lot of teams like to point at players and be like, hey, that guy's a bust. No, he's not. You busted him. That's what happened. You busted him.
Yeah, I would add to that thought. Jeff Saturday, you played with Peyton Manning, and I know you believe he's the greatest quarterback of all time. If Peyton Manning had been drafted, and again, he was drafted onto a terrible team and suffered through some tough times, but was given the time. That was a different era, not this rookie salary cap era where we give up on quarterbacks in about 15 minutes if they don't show you what you want. If Peyton Manning had been drafted, just for example, into the situation Sam Darnold was 3 years ago, I don't think that he'd be Peyton Manning today, and that's just the reality of the situation.
You're 100% right. I mean, listen, where you go and what the general manager, head coach, offensive coordinator surround you with and the plan they set for your development matters. Like when you have this conversation about Sam Darnold, and everybody's like, oh, well, we're going to get rid of him for Zach Wilson and there's going to be this huge upgrade. Like Sam Darnold a few years ago was talked about better than Zach Wilson. So it's just a silly idea that these kids just come in and again, like Dom said, completely, you know, change an organization. That's not going to happen. These guys have to be developed, grow, and move forward for this football team. And I think when your point is well made, it doesn't matter. I mean, they just got to get better in their development.
So of the three quarterbacks that have surpassed him during the season, surpassed Fields, one of them is Mac Jones, who won the national championship at Alabama and put up all these statistically the greatest season that we've ever seen from any college quarterback. And is it him San Francisco is coming up to take? Well, according to McShay, it is. And so, Dominique, give us a preview. on Friday morning, the day after the draft, if indeed it is Mac Jones who goes number three to San Francisco. Dominique Foxworth comes on this show, Get Up, the following morning. What will be the first words you say about that decision?
I will, at that point, I will accept that it has actually happened. But up until then, I'm not going to believe it. Because I imagine in my mind a Kyle Shanahan offense with Justin Fields, Brandon Ayuk, Mostert, Kittle in that dominant offensive line. And I have to imagine that Kyle Shanahan sees that and gets excited. Imagine Justin Fields on the edge with George Kittle in man coverage against a linebacker. No disrespect to Mac Jones, but he's not scaring people in that way. And to go back to the original point off the top that Diana brought up is the criticism of Justin Fields is about his ability to process. I'm not sure how much processing Mac Jones had to do. When you showed that top 10, there were three names in there from Alabama that were not Mac Jones. So the offensive line is absurd. The receivers are absurd. The defense is absurd. I can't imagine. And no disrespect, like I'm sure Mac Jones is a great processor, great quarterback. His numbers support that. But Mac Jones was not dealing with adverse situations. Like Mac Jones was chilling in the pocket, throwing to guys who are wide open. You know why it looks like he reads his progressions right quite well? Because Devontae Smith is the number one object and he's always freaking open. So let's chill. Maybe I need to chill. I'm the only one who's getting amped up. But it is so confusing to me how these people do their evaluations and come out with these this coded language about people's ability to read defense and stuff like that. Like Mac Jones is out there doing calculus. He's not. He's throwing to the open guy who's an All-American.
I insist you don't chill until after 10 o'clock this morning. Okay, Jeff Saturday, go. Jeff.
Listen, what Dom is saying is exactly the truth. When you talk about Mac Jones and what he had, 9 out of 10 times, they've already been out-recruited. I mean, my gosh, right? You got guys who can't cover anybody. I mean, he's seeing that thing. He understands where his read is. But let's fast forward to the 49ers. Shanahan is one of the best play callers in the NFL. How many times is he going to have to progress through with all the boots, waggles, all the time where they're moving the pocket? It's a really simple read. Ain't a whole lot of difficulty in that. Shanahan understands how to make quarterback football simple. And so when you talk about Justin Fields being in that system, that is lethal. I mean, this guy pulls that thing down and has an opening. It's not a Mac Jones 4 or 5 yard gain. It's a 15 to 60 yard touchdown. That's just a difference maker. I think I'm kind of with Dom on this. A little bit of a smoke screen going, trying to put people off of what they're trying to get done.
I'm up against the break. Diana, quick final thought on this. We have tons of time to do it. Go.
Guys, Kyle Shanahan is the same guy who's been in love with Kirk Cousins for the last 7 years. That's not Justin Fields.
He's gotten smarter. Kyle Shanahan is a great offensive coordinator. It's clear to me that he may not be a great quarterback evaluator. There are two different skills. If he's trying to get Kirk Cousins right now, you would think that he would recognize that after losing two Super Bowls, one as a coordinator for the Falcons and one as a head coach, to quarterbacks who essentially walked on water at the end of those games, you would think he would look at Mac Jones and be like, that ain't you. That ain't you. Maybe that's Justin Fields, but it ain't Mac Jones.
I have to leave it there for the moment. We have tons on this. And again, McShay will be live off the top of our next hour. We are just getting started here on Get Up. Coming up, Bob Kraft making it clear he isn't exactly thrilled with something his legendary coach is responsible for. Wait till you hear what the Patriots owner had to say. Plus, he's been compared to Rodgers and Mahomes. Is this rising draft star overrated? We're talking about that and much more as we get up with you on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up. Let's play either or. Dominique, which is the better reunion? Former LSU teammates Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase or former Bama teammates Tua and Devontae Smith? Who you got?
Oh, it's obvious that it's Burrow to Chase because we saw the greatest receiving season anyone had ever had in quarterbacking season. And for Tua to Devontae Smith, we got that play in Georgia. But other than that, they didn't connect nearly as much as Burrow and Chase. But Penei Sewell is the better guy to draft at any point in this. I knew I was going to squeeze that in at any point, at some point in the show. Penei Sewell over everybody.
Okay, that's the offensive tackle from Oregon. Meanwhile, Jeff, better quarterback to trade up for, Trey Lance or Justin Fields?
Justin Fields. Listen, I know everybody is taking shots at him in pro days and Northwestern and all those things. Justin Fields has proven, whether it was in high school, in college, he had to leave from Georgia to go to Ohio State, didn't get dissuaded from it, continued to perform, plays hurt, shows you what he can do against Clemson and Alabama. I'm going up for Fields.
And then, Neek, back to you. Zach, better position to succeed, Trevor Lawrence with the Jags or Zach Wilson with the Jets?
Yeah, that's a tough one, but I think I got to go with Zach Wilson. I think I like what Joe Douglas has been doing so far this offseason, and Saleh is a coach that plenty of people respect. I like that he's a defensive-minded coach, which means that he's likely going to be flexible on offense to go with what works. So I think that situation feels a lot better than what they got in Jacksonville.
Okay, well, it's interesting because Damian Woody, who still bleeds green from his time with the Jets, went on an absolute Twitter tirade yesterday. This is just one of many tweets he put up there about the Jets taking Zach Wilson at two. You see, he says, people acting like Zach Wilson is the second coming of Elway. Let's catch our breaths a bit. Now, I've already progressed to the point where I'm contemplating which of my children I'm going to rename Zach and which one is going to be Wilson. I have accepted that the Jets are doing this. But let's talk about this, Diana. The sentiment around the league, because there is this five quarterbacks at the top of this draft. The Jets just traded up a few years ago to take one in Sam Darnold. And so what is the sentiment about Zach Wilson you are hearing from people across the sport?
Yeah, Greeny, first of all, I am so glad I moved to North Jersey, very far from Damien, because yesterday, I don't know what was up with him. He went live on Instagram at 11 o'clock last night. I was watching in bed like, dude, go to sleep. He was so fired up about it because here's the thing. Damien is making points that people in the league, these evaluators that we're talking about, coaches, GMs, and scouts, are also making, which I thought was really interesting because I was following along, which is, why are we giving up on Sam Darnold so much? What is it? I had a conversation with the head coach yesterday of a different team, not the New York Jets. And he asked me, what am I missing about Sam Darnold? Is there something that happened inside that locker room that I didn't know about? Because I can tell you, just based on what he can do and what I remember him from him coming out, he is a really good quarterback. Why are we saying that Zach Wilson is going to be better than him? But let's put that aside, what they're all saying, because they're not the decision makers. The New York Jets are going to be the decision makers, and they are high on Zach Wilson. But at the end of the day here, Greeny, here we are early April. The Jets still need to make a decision. Are they hanging on to Sam, or are they going in the draft?
Jeff, Saturday, if it was up to you, which are you doing?
I'm keeping Sam Darnold. I'm going to trade that two pick. I'm going to get a better football team. I mean, do I think Zach Wilson is a good quarterback? Absolutely. Do I think he makes that much difference coming into the Jets organization this year or next year? I really don't. I think Sam Darnold has been given kind of a bad rap. Bad offensive line, no running game, can't find ways to win. Everybody has this issue with Sam Darnold. This kid can get better if you progress him. So I'm trading that pick out and going to make it happen with Sam Darnold.
Neek, again, because it's not us, as Diana correctly said, it doesn't matter what we think, it's what they think. As from what you've seen, again, Zach Wilson is a guy that most people haven't seen because he plays at BYU as opposed to guys like Fields and Mac Jones who are on our TVs and Trevor Lawrence who are on the TV every single weekend. What do you think about the idea that this is just the way it's going now and that seems to be in stone?
I'm fine with them drafting Zach Wilson, and they've made some additions to their team and improvement of their team, but I'm fine with it because I understand that we're in a salary cap league. I don't think that Zach Wilson is better than Sam Darnold, certainly not on day one, but I do understand that the 5 years of like cost certainty at a low price for this quarterback is valuable. I think that they're close enough in skill level that that value might be worth going to get him, because you're going to have to extend Sam Darnold and pay him starting quarterback money, which does limit your ability to build around him. But that is the argument for Josh Wilson in my mind, is that he is a cheaper and similar type player to Sam Darnold, but much cheaper for the next 5 years.
Go ahead, Diana.
Just remember, too, every GM is almost identical when it comes to bringing in their own people. Joe Douglas did not draft Sam Darnold.
Right.
He does not feel attached to that. You know he's going to want to put his own stamp on his own quarterback, and we've talked about this on the show all the time. This is probably the biggest decision for Joe Douglas's career in New York.
Okay, but Diana, let me go back to the evaluators, because, again, you've got Mac Jones behind him, who just put up the best season in college football history. Justin Fields, who we just talked about, the skill set is off the charts. Trey Lance, who was – let's put him to the side for the moment. The people you talk to, do they believe Zach Wilson is the number two quarterback in this class?
Yeah, so I'll tell you, I spoke with a GM yesterday who is in the market for a quarterback at the top of this draft. You do the math and figure out who it was. But he said to me – after the first 1 and 2, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, the rest of the quarterbacks, I'm not too sure of. Those two are set. Those are good players. The rest, not too sure. Here we are, early April, not too sure about the rest of these quarterbacks who we are all singing praises to like they're all coming out to be Patrick Mahomes.
And it's fascinating, Nick. Well, go ahead. I can't ignore. Why the
Diana,
face, Dominique?
Diana, whoever told you that doesn't know what they're talking about, because none of them know what they're talking about. Look at the history of the draft.
Right.
Like, they get it wrong all the time. It is a coin toss. It is about
all the
situation that they're going into. So, like, I understand all these guys, you don't get mentioned near the first round of the draft. You don't get drafted. You don't get to an NFL roster if you aren't an exceptional athlete, an exceptional football player. So all these guys can succeed in the right situation. But I don't think that there's this huge gap like Trevor Lawrence and Wilson. Then everybody else is just, it's a coin toss. We see it all the time. Nobody was losing any sleep when we drafted Trubisky over Mahomes. The next day, people were like, maybe you should have drafted Watson. But nobody was like, hey, but they blew it on Mahomes. I'm sorry, Greeny. I know this isn't my show. My bad.
Today it is, and we are rolling with you. We have so much more to come on this, including Bob Kraft. Did you hear what he said? Was it a shot at his legendary coach? We need to get to the bottom of this, and we will. And, oh, yes, it's opening day in Major League Baseball. And Hambo's got some trivia for Buster only. Which U.S. president threw out the most ceremonial first pitches on opening day? Buster will try and answer that as he joins us next. Let's get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up and on the most recent Todd McShay mock draft, which, again, we debuted for you exclusively here 30 minutes ago. He has Justin Fields dropping all the way to number 11. He'd be the fifth quarterback off the board, according to this mock. But he has the Patriots moving up to the 11th spot to take him. Here it is, by the way, if you have not seen it, if you're just joining us, these are the top 11 picks. You see quarterbacks, the first three, five of them in the top 11 overall. Lawrence Wilson, 1 and 2. That's not a surprise. Then we start seeing trades, and we start seeing the wheeling and dealing. Meanwhile, speaking of the Patriots, their team owner, Robert Kraft, had some fascinating comments about the team's recent draft history and their current quarterback situation. Listen to this.
You have to do it through the draft. I don't feel we've done the greatest job
the last few years. And in fairness to Cam, I'm not sure he had the proper weapons around him. I don't know that Jared has ever really gotten a fair shot. So this isn't something where you get algebraic formulas. Think of all the personnel whizzes who passed for six rounds on Tom Brady. One way or another, we have to get that position solidified.
That was very interesting. Mr. Jeff Saturday, was that a little bit of a shot at Bill Belichick?
100% a shot. And I think Bill needs to walk into Mr. Kraft's office and lay down their record over the past 10 years and the Super Bowls in 14, 16, 18, and the loss in Super Bowl in 70. I mean, think about how good this team has been, and you're going to take a shot on how well they've drafted. I mean, I think this is a ridiculous comment. I mean, if you look at their draft, has it been, impressive? How do you describe that? I think the wins are what we're all going for. I don't really care that we win the draft. I care that we win football games and Super Bowls, and the Patriots have continued to do that, whatever their draft record looks like as far as people are talking about. So why Kraft took that shot at Bill, I'm not really sure. I'm not sure if it was just, from what's happening with Tampa Bay and Tampa Tom making the Super Bowl, all those things. But, man, I'm going to let you know, if I'm Bill, I'm going to go ahead and show him like everybody else. Look at the record, man. Not a lot to complain about around here.
What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, Robert must have been sitting next to somebody in the Glazer family at the owner's meeting, and they must have took a shot at him and said something about Tom, because he walked out there like, we ain't having this. I'm going to put everybody on notice that we are falling short. These last two seasons are unacceptable, and I want everybody to feel this heat. I don't care if you drop six rings on my desk. I want seven, because Tom got seven. And I understand it. I guess that type of focus is how you get to be as successful as the Patriots have been. I can't say I understand it. It makes sense to me. I don't understand it. I don't have that in me the way that they do, but they are getting it done, and no. I'm sure he was putting that message out to Belichick. And while I'm offended on behalf of Bill Belichick, I suspect that Bill Belichick's not offended because he feels the same way. He wants to win another Super Bowl just as bad as he wanted to win his first.
The only reason he might feel offended is that he is the one at the end of the day in charge of the draft, and both can be true. You can be right. Their record has been unbelievable. It's been unassailable. He could drop all the rings on the desk. But they have just flat drafted badly the last several years, and that's just a statement of fact. So both can be true. In the meantime, Diana, he also was talking about the quarterback situation there. And all eyes are on Jimmy G, at least several of them are, with San Francisco trading up. So what is the latest as far as that's concerned? What is the expectation?
Yeah, months ago, there was definitely strong interest from the New England Patriots in bringing Jimmy Garoppolo back to the New England area. We know that they like the way Jimmy plays, the style of offense. He fits well with Josh McDaniels. Durability is always going to be an issue when it comes with Jimmy, which is really pretty much a league-wide thought about him. Kyle Shanahan, pretty transparent, talking about it the other day. His own quarterback on his roster saying durability has been an issue. So for New England at this point, it doesn't look like they're going to wind up trading for Jimmy G. In fact, someone close to the New England Patriots shared with me that you should probably look to the draft for them to go quarterback. So in terms of the Jimmy G thing, I'm not going to say it's dead. I'll never say anything's dead. I've learned the hard way in this business. But at the same time, the reality, I think every day that goes by probably is another day that we wave goodbye to Jimmy in New England again.
Well, again, McShay does project them to take a quarterback, to trade up and to take Justin Fields at number 11. We'll see if it all shakes out that way. Super quick, Neek, do they have a better shot at winning this year if their quarterback is Cam or Garoppolo in New England? Straight up those two guys.
Yeah, I think it's Garoppolo. Honestly, I watched what Cam did last year, and unless he's going to get healthy somehow quickly, and I understand the weapon criticism in the offseason, but unless something's going to change, I think it's probably Garoppolo, and that's not great.
Which one? Or Jeff, or throw in the draft pick. They have a better chance of winning this year with a draft pick, with Garoppolo or Cam. Which one you got? Super quick.
Garoppolo all the way. Listen, this kid, durability has been an issue. New England knows how to protect quarterbacks. They could win with him.
Well, let's see if they do it. Guys, stay tight. We have so much more on the mock draft. Again, McShay is coming. But on this, the first day of the baseball season, Hambo is ready for Buster Olney with this trivia question. Buster, which U.S. president threw out the most ceremonial first pitches on opening day?
All right. When World War II was going on, the person most in support of continuing baseball during that time was a president, Franklin Roosevelt, elected four times. He threw out the most first pitches.
That is correct. FDR threw out eight first pitches, one more than Harry Truman and one more than Eisenhower. Look at Robert Stanberry, only the third, knocking one out of the park with a look that has a great deal of gravitas, by the way. The clean cut haircut, the glasses, the suit. Buster is ready for the start of baseball, and so are we. And huge news in the wee hours of the night. With the season starting today, the Mets and their star shortstop Francisco Lindor have agreed on a 10-year, $341 million contract. Lindor and the Mets open their season against the Nats tonight, 7 Eastern, on ESPN. And after this signing, Lindor becomes the third highest paid player in baseball history. Number one shortstop is $341 million, just surpassing the $340 million that the Padres had given Fernando Tatis earlier this season. And one can only imagine that isn't a coincidence. So, Buster, what are you hearing in just the few hours since this deal was made around the league about Lindor signing up long-term in New York?
Greeny, amid all those pessimistic reports yesterday about how there was an impasse, I talked with a bunch of agents who weren't involved in the negotiation. They were saying, no, they'll get it done because there was so much risk on both sides. For the Mets, the fact that they traded assets to get this player, and with the idea that he would be the signature face of the franchise moving forward, they had a lot at stake. And Francisco Lindor had so much at stake once that offer went over $300 million. Agents were telling me that if he had decided to turn that down and go into free agency, he might have risked $160 to $180 million if he had a mediocre 2021 season or if he got hurt.
It's a very difficult to picture having $300 million sitting on the table and saying, you know what, I'll hold off on that, but it's a problem we'd all love to have. All right, let's get to the start of the season today. Let's take a look at what Vegas thinks about Major League Baseball. And not surprisingly, with Trevor Bauer in the fold, the Dodgers are the favorites to repeat, according to Caesars Sportsbook. The boys in blue followed by the Yankees looking for their first title in over a decade. And then you see the Padres on there, the Mets. Buster, let's run the bases as we start today. What is the biggest storyline you have your eye on this season?
Greeny, it's Shohei Ohtani, who might finally realize the dreams of being the Babe Ruth of the modern day, being a great pitcher and a great hitter. In spring training, he batted over 500. He looks phenomenal. His fastball clocked at 102 miles per hour. Oh, by the way, his debut on the mound this season will happen on Sunday Night Baseball.
All right, we look forward to that. Meanwhile, give me a sleeper to make a playoff run this year. Buster.
I'm buying into the Angels hype. Look, we've seen the American League West take a step back with the Houston Astros losing George Springer, Justin Verlander not being available for a lot of the year, Oakland losing a couple of key free agents, and the Angels have loaded up with starting pitching this year, guys on one-year deals, and you love the lineup with Ohtani, with Mike Trout, and with Anthony Rendon. That team is going to score a ton of runs.
Be good to see Trout making it to the playoffs. All right, Buster, give me a World Series prediction.
I've got the Dodgers beating the Yankees. I think this Dodger team could challenge the standard set by the best team that we've ever seen, the 1998 Yankees, which won 114 games in the regular season, 125 postseason and regular season combined, and had a run differential of plus 309. The Dodgers are that good. I mean, think about it. David Price, the Cy Young Award winner, can't even find a spot in that rotation because they're so deep.
Dodgers look ridiculously good. The Yankees are a prohibitive favorite in the American League, and everything starts today. He is Robert Stanberry, only the third, and we're looking forward to seeing it all. Thank you, Buster.
Thanks, Grady.
All right. Meanwhile, Get Up is brought to you in part by the McDonald's All-American Games, and let's talk about that. This year's Morgan Wooten Girls Player of the Year is AZ Fudd from St. John's College High School in Washington, D.C. She averaged 25 points a game. She's going to UConn. The Morgan Wooten Award is given to student athletes who demonstrate outstanding character and leadership. Meanwhile, on the boys' side, the winner is Chet Holmgren, who averaged nearly 21 points, 13 boards, and 5 blocks a game at Minnehaha Academy in Minnesota. He is undecided on which college he will attend in the fall. Coming up, what if I told you the Eagles decided not to draft any help for Jalen Hurts? Is that something you'd be interested in? We're back to McShay's McBoard next. Get Up on ESPN.
delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back, and Todd McShay is going to join us in 15 minutes talking about his mock draft that we just put up for you 45 minutes ago. And in it, he has the Eagles taking that great linebacker, Micah Parsons from Penn State, with the 12th pick overall. That could come as a surprise when you consider the Eagles are looking to build around a young quarterback, and they have a lot of needs, particularly perhaps on the offensive line and at wide receiver. You see some of the notable players on this board here, including Justin Fields, the 5th quarterback taken, and on it goes. But let's talk about the Eagles for a minute here, and it's sort of an interesting one as we look at it here, Diana. The Eagles clearly took themselves out of the running. They moved out of that 6th spot. They could have been sitting there to get one of the top dynamic weapons in this draft, or even to take a quarterback, and they chose not to do it. So what is your perspective on how they go about this here with the idea that they pick a defensive player or not, start building something offensively around their young quarterback?
Yeah, and I do think this is just going to be a one-year experiment as much as ownership is all in for this young quarterback here. I do think they're just going to give him this season to try to show that he is the future, because I know that they're not all completely sold that this is their franchise quarterback. But that being said, this trade tells you they're most likely not going quarterback here. So where do they go from here? Well, if you take a look at Howie Roseman's drafts historically, right? So we know that he learned about this game through Andy Reid. And Andy Reid values lines so much, right? Defensive, offensive lines. So it would actually make a lot of sense for them to go this route. Do they probably need to build around this quarterback and get him some weapons? Yeah, look at these quarterbacks in Philly the last few seasons, going back to Donovan McNabb. They never really had a lot of targets. Obviously, Carson Wentz didn't have a lot of great weapons here. So this is going to be really interesting to see what Philly decides to do. Either way, going for the best player in this draft is what the Philadelphia Eagles need to do, because they have swung and missed over and over and over again in this draft.
All right. So then, Jeff Saturday, as I come to you, and I will grant ahead of time that asking you this question, I recognize you are hopelessly biased on the answer. But there are some dynamic offensive playmakers at the top of this draft: Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, and others. There are some outstanding offensive line products, prospects, including Penei Sewell from Oregon, Rashawn Slater from Northwestern, and others. If you're trying to develop a young quarterback,
yes,
are you better off giving him a dynamic wide receiver or an outstanding offensive lineman? Jeff Saturday.
Outstanding offensive lineman. The reality of our game is you have to protect your quarterback. I don't care how good all the finesse guys on the outside. I call them big skill on the inside, Greeny. Those big skill guys are what allows that quarterback to find the reads, to find that second look. We talk about all the time, can the quarterback get through his progressions? I can tell you when he can't get through his progressions, when he's on his back. So you better protect this guy. Guys like Sewell, Slater, Darisaw, all these guys that you're talking about, they're going to protect your investment. We talk about it all the time. That player, that quarterback, is so dynamic in offenses in the NFL. You've got to protect him. And we do a terrible job of thinking because we give him another receiver, he's going to be a better quarterback. You have to protect your QB. Offensive linemen tend to stay in the game longer. 10-year type careers, those type of guys, they stay in, they play from day one. Those are the guys you got to go get in the draft. All so the flashy guys, you can go find them later.
Nick, as I look at this, he has 4 offensive skill players, including Kyle Pitts, the tight end from Florida, before either of the offensive tackles comes off the board.
Yeah.
McShay has the first one, Sewell, going 13 to the Chargers. Is that the right or the wrong way to develop a team and a young quarterback?
Oh, it's the wrong way. It's malpractice when there's a player like Penei Sewell available. Like, Penei Sewell should not go past the Bengals. If the Bengals go for Ja'Marr Chase or another receiver instead of Penei Sewell, that is a problem. That is malpractice. I believe it. So, again, I'm telling you guys again, I just figured it out. I don't know why you don't want to believe me, but that rascal Todd McShay is out here April fooling y'all, because there is no way, either that or this is just some very aggressive subterfuge, because there is no way that you let Penei Sewell slide this deep in the draft. The Chargers would be elated if he's still there. So the way that I look at this game, and we all understand it, that you're looking to have a better quarterback. You want to get a better quarterback, as good as your quarterback can be, that's how good your team is going to be, right? Everyone agrees with that. The average QBR for all the quarterbacks in the NFL, when there are no losses along the front line as far as blocking is concerned, is 75. That makes your quarterback Russell Wilson. The average when there is at least one loss on the offensive line is 48. That makes your quarterback last year's Carson Wentz. You want a better quarterback? Get Penei Sewell. He'll make your bad quarterback okay. He'll make your okay quarterback good. He'll make your good quarterback great. That is who you want.
Quick thought, Diana, go.
Dom, just look at the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes, we will argue, is the best quarterback in the league. His offensive line was injured. He had no protection. He had all the weapons.
He had
all of them. And there's look also what the happened issue. There. They struggled. It just goes to show you, you need to be protected. Jeff?
Yeah, there's the issue of depth at both positions in this draft as well. There's a lot of both. Okay, but we need to save plenty of time for this. Wait, it is time for the pancakes.
Okay, yeah. Set him down is a keeper. That is a Tuesday staple.
Get some of this. Get some of that. Throw him out the club. Wagyu, throw him out the club. You see him? One pancake, two pancakes, three pancakes. Ooh!
Oh, how we have missed this. Jeff Saturday is going to hand out pancakes, and these are going to be for some of these highly touted offensive linemen that you will see being drafted 4 weeks from tonight in the NFL draft. Mr. Saturday, the floor is yours.
Oh, I can't tell you how excited I am. I should have had Meek jump in here with me. He's an offensive line advocate at this point. Watch my man Darrishaw right here. Christian Darrishaw, fantastic job. Second level, right? Seals off on the inside. You're seeing the left tackle. He's going to press through. Watch what he does when he gets that linebacker trying to cross his face. Finishes him, puts him on his back. Now, that guy weighs about as much as Foxworth, but I still love the finish. I'm giving him a one pancake because he's a little dude, but that was a nasty play from my man Christian right there. Well done. Listen, we're going to number two. This is Sewell. This is the guy everybody's talking about. Look at the athleticism right here. The angle of attack. Green does an overarm swim, knocks the defensive tackle down, drops through, and then watch him get to the next level. What's he done with that angle? He's forced the linebacker to play underneath him, but the most impressive part is watch how he pushes off that outside foot, gets enough on the linebacker to knock him on the ground. That's how you define explosiveness. That's two pancakes for a nasty play. Now listen, this is just what you write home about. Watch Jenkins finish this play. We talk about through the echo of the whistle. I can assure you that whistle's been blown. He ain't stopping, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Gets inside hand placement. Look at the defensive end trying to get rid of him. He's like this. He's like a windshield wiper. You can't get off, baby. You're on the train tracks. You're getting trucked, baby. This is what it is. Three pancakes for that finish out of bounds. Absolutely love it. And my man, Nick, you're an honorary O-lineman today, baby. I could not love you more today for what you're saying.
That, by the way, was Tevin Jenkins from Oklahoma State, who does figure to be a late first-round pick. Those are the pancakes, and they're outstanding. Meanwhile, what a lineup we have for you on Sunday. It's another NBA battle between L.A.'s finest, Lakers and Clippers, coming your way 3:30 Eastern on ABC. Then on ESPN, the NCAA Women's National Championship game is 6 Eastern, followed by our Sunday night baseball matchup, the series finale between the White Sox and the Angels. Coming up here, the first mock draft since the trade that shook up the NFL. Todd McShay will join us live to explain all the picks coming up right off the top of the next hour. And Get Up is brought to you by McDonald's. Continuing a decades-long tradition, the McDonald's All-American Games is elevating 48 high school athletes into the next generation of basketball greats. To see your favorite players honored, tune into the McDonald's All-American Games 60-minute special on ABC, Saturday, April 3rd at 2 o'clock Eastern Time. We'll be right back.